Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Beyond Surviving, the safe space for survivors of childhood sexual abuse to receive support, resources, and share their stories. Beyond Surviving is about freedom, healing, connection, and even laughter and fun. Most importantly, it's about letting go of the pain of abuse and finally moving on. I'm Rachel Grant. For those of you who don't yet know me, I've been a sexual abuse recovery coach since 2007, and I'm the author of Beyond Surviving, The Final Stage of Recovery from Sexual Abuse. You can learn more about me and the Beyond Surviving program at www.rachelgrantcoaching.com. In this week's episode, I conclude the two-part series on communicating powerfully and will share with you some very specific tools for getting into communication with others.
So then what happens when you do need to get into conversation with somebody else, though? There is really something that you want to share and that you want to communicate. So that's where we're going to head next. We're going to get into talking about how you communicate your needs and desires and experience with other people. So one thing I've noticed as I've worked with couples, as I've worked with people around relationships, is that we often are communicating on just a very top surface level. Most of the time we just kind of blurt out what we want, and that's good to some extent, except we usually blurt out what we want without very much information as to what it would look like, how often we really want it. It's just not very clear. So we might say to our partner, I want you to spend more time with me. Okay. Now, point in fact, that's a very surface level comment. It seems like it might be really intimate and revealing and emotional, but it is kind of just at the top level. And it's also very incomplete because your partner does not know what spend more time with me actually means. She will have her own interpretation and understanding about what that means, what it would look like, and you have yours. And let's say, 90% of arguments in relationships are really about, I asked you for something and you didn't give it to me, and the other person is saying, you asked me for that, and I did give it to you. I just didn't give it to you the way you wanted. And the reason that happens is because we don't make clear requests. Really, this thing that people should just kind of figure it out. They should just get it. Particularly if we've been in a relationship for a long time, we start holding the other person accountable for reading the mind. and just knowing what it is we like and what we need, and we don't have to actually address or explain anything. And so those are some really big traps that cause relationships to become kind of unstable and bring in discord. So when you are actually wanting to communicate a complete message, a full idea, fully express yourself, the first place to start is actually going back to the what is happening and expressing that to the person. So it might be when you don't follow through on this agreement that we have. So I'll try to come up with something specific. When we don't see each other for a whole week, okay? Let's just say you're in a relationship like that where you maybe see a person once a week, but you're really wanting more time, okay? When we don't see each other more than once a week, that is what's happened. That's what's going on. You don't want to get into it like when you don't spend time with me or when you don't show up or when you don't ask me out. That's all blaming. That's all judging. That is going to make sure that conversation goes nowhere. First thing you want to do is get clear about what is happening, okay, and state it in a very objective way without your interpretation. Another thing is to look for what your thought is. Now, this actually mirrors, you know, your story, your interpretation. And sometimes what I really like about this step is you notice that your story is really what is the problem in this situation, and it has nothing to do with the other person. And you can just kind of stop. You don't have to, you know, get into any conversation with them. You just have to do the work yourself, except for that fourth step if you want to share your story with them. But let's just say that the thought that you have, when we don't spend more time with each other than once a week, I think this relationship is going to fail. Right? Maybe that's the thought you have. And so you want to share the thought, all right? And then you want to get to the feeling. Now, the feeling is not, I feel that, because what word comes after that statement is always you, and that is not going to work, okay? The feeling really is just that, a feeling. I feel scared. I feel upset. I feel frustrated. And then we get down to the intention. What is it? Why are you having this conversation? Now is when you come into saying what it is that you want. But you're going to say it in a very particular way. You might say, I want to spend more time together as a way to just initially state the intention. Then you're going to get very specific. How often do you want to spend time together? Does talking on the phone count as time together? Does chatting count as time together? Do you want to see this person 3 days a week, 2 days a week? And it sounds very formal and business-like, but what actually happens is you open up a dialogue where the relationship then becomes a place where, you know, real needs can be met, real expectations can be set, and you're not just counting on the other person to just somehow figure it out. And it's quite a relief and quite a gift to the person that you're in conversation with when you say things like, I'd like to spend more time together. Could we please go out at least 2 times a week? The person then knows exactly what you need, exactly what you want. You've taken the guesswork out of it for them, and that's a really nice thing to do. And then the person has an opportunity to actually think, okay, could I do 2 days a week? No, I couldn't, but I could do 1 day a week and make sure I chat with you every night. You know, so then you can get into a dialogue about what works, about what doesn't work. The other real benefit of using the clear request is that it's measurable. After a couple of weeks, if the person has agreed to seeing you 2 times a week and that hasn't happened, then first of all, you don't have to get into story, right? You check yourself, right? Well, he's not spending time with me 2 times a week, what he said. That means, you know, I'm terrible and he hates me. You have to keep that in check. But then you can go back to the person and say, hey, you know, we had this agreement about spending two nights a week together, and I'm just noticing that's not happening. I'm wondering what's getting in the way. And, you know, that question right there, I'm wondering what's getting in the way, is so powerful in relationships because it takes away all judgment, it takes away blame, and you're simply asking the person to investigate the situation with you. And they might say, well, as it turns out, 2 days a week is really a lot for me. Or they might just say, well, I've had a cold and I didn't want to go anywhere. But then you can kind of get it, you can get into the conversation about it. So the four parts of a message are really important and very helpful because they give the other person a full picture of what is going on for you. You know, when you say something like, I want us to spend more time together, and the person doesn't get that it's because you're afraid the relationship's going to fail or because you're feeling frustrated and upset, they don't really know what's at stake for you. And it's often very compelling for other people when they hear what your underlying concerns or thoughts or feelings are. Now, when in fact we hide those a lot of times because it feels very vulnerable to spit it out. But that's part of the reason why I kind of like this four-level message, because you just kind of, you know, you can use it as a tool to just kind of think through it. Let me just talk myself through this, and if I just, okay, I'm at step one, good, I got that done. Let me just try step two now and just get my thoughts out there. Now let me get into my feelings, and now let me state my intention. And one of the important things to know about the intention is that it should be positive, right? So you don't want to say, you don't want to place the clear request in a negative. I want you to stop not seeing me, right? You want to place it in the positive. I want us to see each other more often. How about 2 times a week, 3 times a week? Now, this is really useful in all sorts of realms, not just in relationships, you know. And the other thing you want to do is start listening for other people when they're making requests of you. If, say, your boss comes in and says, I'd like you to do this report, and that's all they say, then here's a really great opportunity to elicit a clear request. So you would say, all right, you want me to do the report. Is that due by Wednesday? Is that due by Tuesday? Is it due by Wednesday at 3? Get as specific as you can. And that will really save you a lot of time, too. When you have a partner who comes and says, you know, I want you to stop nagging me, well, that's not really a clear request. You got to figure out what's really happening. Maybe it's only one specific thing. And if you really get into the conversation of what would that look like to you if I stopped nagging, what would that mean, they might just say, oh, well, I want you to stop bugging me about chores. And anything else is fine. So practicing the skill of communicating using a full, rounded-out message and eliciting clear requests from other people will take a lot of the guesswork out of your conversation. Okay, and, you know, it doesn't always have to be negative. I'm using negative situations, but it could be something like, you know, when you brought me flowers, I thought you really appreciate me, and I felt, you know, loved and cared for. And the intention there is, you know, I really want us to just continue showing love to each other. So, you know, these skills aren't just for, you know, the hard times or the tough conversations. They're also for expressing the positive things and reinforcing the things that you want to that are positive. So, Abigail, do you have a request or a situation in mind that we could maybe use for, you know, practicing putting together a complete message?
Let's see now. Well, I can think of a situation. Well, not a situation. I can think of an ongoing relationship with a friend, a male friend that I've had now for a number of years, where just recently I've noticed this relationship is taking on a much more, I would say, peaceful, even adult way of being. So I don't have a particular request anymore of this person, though from a couple of years ago, it's true that what you're saying, you know, it would have been good if I could get out of the fact that I was so upset and angry with this person a lot. I might have been able to say things. But as you were speaking, I was realizing that a lot of what this is about is, you know, it's taking back our power and not giving it to somebody else. And the reason I think we find it confronting, you mentioned, you know, we feel vulnerable to be specific about things, is because we're afraid the other person can hurt us. But, you know, if we get to a place where really we don't give our power away to someone, they can't really hurt you anymore. And that's a real big step, I think, if you've come from a background where you've been abused and so totally dependent that you were often hurt. And it's interesting how it's that story that we give ourselves. You know, someone does whatever they do, you know, or we ask for whatever, we might get it, we might not. You know, I've asked for a few things recently and I don't get them. And I kind of go, oh, okay, well, I guess sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you know, the clear request is not the end-all, be-all of seeing what you want. It just supports you in, if the person is agreeable, it being actually what you want. So the person does also have the option of saying no, even if you ask in very clear and very specific.
Exactly. I think what I've noticed in different situations, you know, is just that it doesn't mean that I'm going to get it, but afterwards, if I take the time to pat myself on the back and say, well, at least you asked, and at least you were clear, and they don't have to give you what you want. Nobody has to give you what you want. It's up to you to keep looking, and if you don't get it from one person or from one area, you keep exploring how are you going to get your needs met. But it's not up to anybody to satisfy your needs. And that was a real eye-opener for me. So that it makes it easier now for me to ask for things. And it's true that the more I ask, the more I have it's like a numbers game, as they say, even in marketing. The more the tendency is that I do get what I want. Though, if I don't, it's not the end of the world.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, one of the other things I'll just point out here is I had a client who, you know, we did this exercise with, and she started out with the statement, I want my husband to be more kind to me. And so I asked, all right, well, what would that actually look like? What would that be? And she said, well, you know, I really would love if he would bring me flowers. Okay, great. So how often do you want flowers? And then, you know, she started grimacing, and, you know, she answered, you know, a week. I said, okay, great, what kind of flowers? And it was at that point that she just kind of pushed back, and she said, that is so not romantic. I don't like that at all. He should just go out and get it, and, you know, this is I don't like this idea at all of having to tell him exactly what kind of flowers to give me. And I said, well, okay, you could ask in, you know, a vague way, and you could get the flowers and they not be what you like, and you could just be appreciative of that. Sure, that's an option. But it seems fairly romantic and loving to me that if you ask for something very specifically and the person takes the time to actually follow through and give you exactly what you want, that seems romantic to me. So, you know, she did it, and we put together the complete message so that she could go and, you know, ask in a way that it was received not as a judgment, not as a, you know, a demand, but as a request and as one that, you know, had meaning and importance to her. And the husband said, oh, my God, I'm so relieved. Finally, I know exactly what you want. And he was just ecstatic. And, you know, it's been like a year, and she still gets her daisies like once a week. And I just love that because it's actually, and he feels satisfied and excited that he knows he's pleasing her and giving her exactly what she wants. You know, there is a lot to be said for implicit communication. I'm not saying I want you to go out there and create a world where everything is like, please give me this by 2:00 on Wednesday. But you know, being able to use body language, being able to use, you know, just sounds, size, looks, all of that is a part of the package. It's all a part of the communication game. But when you are finding that you have something that is important to you, a need or a desire that is continuously going unmet, if you haven't asked for it clearly, then you are not yet in a place where you can be upset, or where you can judge the other person, or where you can begin to consider whether or not this person is capable of meeting needs. You haven't even asked in a clear way.
Yeah, I think that brings us to that, back to that thing, the point, which is if we're unable to ask for what we want, then that is reflecting something about our own story. What is it that we're pushing on to other people as responsibility, and it is ultimately our own responsibility to be able to satisfy our own needs by being able to, as you say, to ask for them. So it brings it back to the dialogue within of, you know, why am I so afraid to ask for what I want?
You know, this is a really tricky model to just hit the ground running with. It does, you know, it challenges our usual mode of communication and how we generally ask for things and talk to other people. So if it feels a little bit like shoes that are too small, that's okay. It probably will. And, you know, what I encourage you to do is to just practice composing, you know, these sorts of messages, you know, on your own before you, you know, sit down and try to talk to somebody. Kind of have a dress rehearsal with yourself and, you know, kind of go through them. But I want to give you a little bit of homework or an exercise that you can, you know, take with you. The first is begin kind of keeping a log of your stories. As you start to tune in to the meanings that you assign in a variety of situations, you'll really start to notice the patterns and the reoccurring theme. You'll kind of have your top five stories that you always go to. And you can really do some powerful work just by challenging those particular stories and being kind of tuned in, on guard, paying attention, present to that. And the more often you do that and challenge those stories, again, the more likely you're going to be able to decrease how often they show up or how long you stay stuck in story, because your brain will be rewiring, you will be weakening neuronal pathways and, you know, becoming stronger in your thought life. And then for your communication, I just challenge you to get out there and, you know, pick one or two situations and really use this model and practice walking through the four parts and stating your request clearly. And really use the powerful part of this, which is showing appreciation, looking for the positive, communicating to people what's working for you, and that you hope that that continues. So, Abigail, I'm gonna want to chime in here at all.
Well, I guess I'd just like to mention how in this model it does go so deep. I mean, on the appearance, maybe on the surface, it might have a feeling that it's very kind of blanket 1-2-3 step, but there's so much to this actually if you really start to explore it. One of the aspects that you just mentioned is this element of being able to actually communicate your appreciation of a situation or your appreciation of something that someone has done for you. You know, when they do this, that, and the other thing, you may feel, you know, XYZ, excited, happy, you know, really looking forward to something. It gives a way of communicating to people what's working and what makes us feel joyful. And I think that's an extremely positive thing. And then it also gives us the framework for exploring and getting more in touch with these different subpersonalities. For instance, as you were saying, getting to know those stories, keeping them in a log, you know, will help you get in tune with the one or two subpersonalities that maybe are problematic, that can be the cynic or the critic, and the one that's the saboteur, the one that's always saying, well, you can't do that, or, you know, you've started a business, for instance, and you know, you're not good enough, or, you know, you're never going to get enough clients to live, or you're never going to get this, or bloody blah, you know, all that negative
right.
stuff. You know, that is the voice of the saboteur. That is the voice of the critic that is there for a reason but is piping up always in this negative way. So this model helps us to get in tune with all those different parts of ourselves so that we can bit by bit allow them to evolve, which is how the story starts to lose its power. So
absolutely.
Really wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, and, you know, I really enjoy the process of, you know, identifying what your needs really are. First of all, it's very empowering to really tune in and notice what support, what love, what attention really looks like, what it really feels like to you. Because we oftentimes know that we have a need. You know, we have a need for comfort. We have a need for closeness. But we don't really go that extra step to identify what that feels like and looks like for ourselves, let alone communicate it to anyone else. So just that of having to kind of get into your own world and think about what these things look like and feel like is very, very powerful and empowering, because you'll know yourself better. And the better you know yourself, the more easily you're able to relate and communicate to others what you need. So, you know, if you're struggling with that step about getting clear about, you know, what it is that you really want to ask for, you know, sometimes frame it in the opposite, what it is you don't want. Like, well, I know for sure, like in the example we were using about spending time together, I know for sure once a week is not it. So we got to go, that's a starting place. We have to go somewhere up from there. I know I don't like talking on the phone, so that's not going to work for me. Think about what it is that you enjoy the most about time with people. You know, is it, do you like just being in the same space, or do you really need like actual conversation and communication happening? You know, a lot of times I find in relationships that the woman is asking for more time and the man feels burdened because he thinks he needs to be there, like kind of entertaining her, showing up, you know, having a conversation, being in dialogue, when what she really would enjoy is, let's just be in the same space. Like, I'm comforted by being in the same room with you, even if you're, you know, doing your own work or reading a book. So, you know, getting into those, understanding those parts of you will really help, you know, enliven the relationships and bring things up, you know, to a greater level for you. So I really hope that you'll, you know, take these tools, both the ones that Abigail has spoken to and these, I think they complement each other so nicely. They really play into each other so well. So you've gotten just a really great toolkit. You are really walking away with some powerful ways to think about communication, think about your authentic self and relationships.
Thank you for tuning in and joining us today. Don't forget to visit www.rachelgrantcoaching.com to learn more about sexual abuse recovery coaching and to explore the other resources available on the site. And please be sure to subscribe to this podcast. We have much more to share. Until next time, take good care of you.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.